Mr. Madison, reel three. You got off the beaches, as you say, onto boats, small boats, and then onto obviously a larger boat. What condition were you in?
Oh, in a pretty state. No, no, being washing shirt was days. I'd have nothing to eat.
Did you feel like a defeated army?
No, well, I wasn't. What were actually crossing the higher ups, you know? They made the mess of it, not us.
You thought you'd been let down?
Oh, I have. Because later, we've gone on these Dunkirk trips. We used to go down to, we used to go down to the Toll Hall and we used to have a reception there, you know. We used to have cards, tickets, we used to have champagne and all that from the mayor. And they had a figurehead of Gort, Lord Gort there. This Lord Gort had been out at his headquarters. But I'm just saying, the French put that there, and yet the British government never got it. Another thing. Never got on the list.
And that made you feel angry, did it?
Oh, I did. Of course, I say, when we went away to Lille there, the French, you know, were observing the boat, and they were taught us in the French. And I said, well, we were calling the French, you know, the nose and all that. But the ones that was to blame was the politicians. The politicians did all and nothing.
When you got off the small boat, what boat brought you back to England?
I think it was a ship called the Hellenes that brought us back up to Dover.
Do you remember that journey coming home?
Well, a little bit, you know. Probably asleep at the time. When we got on the train, we started to get cigarettes and tea.
Did the Navy look after you on the boat? Did the Navy look after you?
The Navy looked after me, yes. Was it my mum got a loaf of bread and a tin of corned beef.
When you got to Dunkirk, was there a reception there for you, coming off the boat?
No.
WVS, anybody like that there?
No.
Were you able to, were you together as a unit, or were you mixed up?
Oh, mixed up. I went up to, from there, I went to Isselside Rosely. That's where I started to organise, and I went to Kittredwood.
Did
7 days leave from there.
You got leave from there. You didn't get a couple of days when you first landed, did you?
No.
And of course, on your leave, you would, was your brother with you? Were you together still?
I was still with a battalion. Of course, I'm being transported, you know. I've seen him later on because we're built in different areas. Because we were doing the same.
When you were in action, having a brother in the same battalion, was it a source of worry for you? Wondering what he was like, what he was doing?
Well, you see, when we were in action, seeing your brother was transported being away, he used to keep coming up to see us. And I used to always warn him, I said, look, it's told the family. Stay where you are, but you wouldn't.
He kept coming up to check on you, that you were okay. Uh-huh. Were you still on light anti-aircraft at this time?
Yes.
You'd stayed with that right through France?
Basically.
When you came home, how were you received at home?
Well, everybody was used, I think, of course, the novelty wore off later on.
Did they feel that they were, you know, the country was beaten?
No, it had nothing to do with that. Of course, there are new politicians again, they were to blame. See, that's where I was saying. The war was started by the politicians, they made the carry on. And I've always been on the boat when they went to Falklands. That's how I was here, 6,000 miles away, giving them more than what to do there, which was all wrong. Oh, the fellow used to be the ally man, De Beer. He was the ally man, and they were looking under him because he's telling the tale about the SAS. Well, why shouldn't he tell it?
When you got to Rugeley, what happened to you?
Oh, I just kitted out. I got 7 years leave from there, and I was promoted sergeant there.
And what? Did you move into a company as sergeant or what?
No, we're just getting yourself organised, you know, we're kitted out and for sale was how
The battalion would be in a pretty bad state, was it?
Oh, in a pretty bad state.
What was the spirit like after the retreat and the tiredness and so on?
Of course, we used to be probably getting the French, you know, with Arras here. Same at Arras, they were to blame because we were a flying column, you know, transport of 50 dead. And they left the gap, you see, and the gap days for the crews, you know, were away. They left it. That's what started at Arras.
So you at Rugeley you were getting together again, obviously getting new equipment. Mm-hmm. What was the position with regard to weapons? Because you'd lost a lot.
Oh, well, we got new equipment with weapons. Well, we just had the ordinary the Enfield rifle. It was another new equipment element, just a brand. That's the only thing we had. See, because the Lewis Goons was handy with a 33 Scottish. But they never used them, never got a chance.
So things are really pretty desperate.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to repel an invasion with what you had.
What I had.
You weren't at Rugeley very long. You moved down to the south coast, southwest coast.
Yes, you know, where we're from Mariette, Hollerton, and Tiverton. I don't know where.
What was your role down there on the beaches? What were you supposed to be doing?
Oh, just getting reorganised, you know, just doing ordinary training, what we're doing.
Did you get a lot of men from other units now to make up for your losses?
Oh, yes, we used to get different units, like Welsh and Coileys.
How did they settle in?
Well, when the first started, you know, the Welsh blokes we had was the Welsh ones, because we used to tick them off, they used to speak in Welsh, and we couldn't understand them. There was one company had, our company, they were at down the south there it was, and the PSN, you know, they got sick of them. It was our company, they called it our company to say, you should see our going, off you go. Next morning he went, Hartland was missing, they just skipped off.
It must be difficult though to join the army in your own unit, your own regiment, and then get switched to somebody else's.
Somebody else.
So that must have been that initial difficult period while they were settling in.
Yes. Well, the first one we got was KSLI from Dunkirk.
And what were they like?
Oh, they were all right. First one to come in had a little parcel in the army that had no equipment.
What were your duties as sergeant? What were you doing as a sergeant? What were your duties?
Well, just instructing the men, taking them on a normal routine.
Were you still with HQ Company?
Still with HQ Company.
You were telling me about patrolling the beaches. What were you doing?
Well, we just lie about on the beach and what would be a life route and come back again. Nothing happened. Well, he could never have invaded slave regions. He could never get into there. Because slave regions are bunk like that, worse than Dean Street. I've been back there since, but we never went up the bank. We just stayed on the beach where we were trading it, where we were stationed. There was a scare one night. There was a rugby field just behind us, and Charlie Gould and his company commander, and I was in a panic station from the boat there. But nothing happened. And cheers and wound up here, sir.
This was an invasion scare.
Uh-huh.
Did you see German aircraft coming over on the way to Bristol or where have you?
Later on I did. I was at a place called Worth Matthias outside Swanage. And by the Packard Patrol, I went down there at the RAF. It was a radar station that had been bombed out of Dundee. And we were protection there, and when the Battle of Britain was on, the plane had been brought down there, you know. And there were some chaps there who were building a big mast from Wright and Anderson's, you know, and Gates. And they were warned to come down, you know, when the siren went. But we don't, the jellies were certainly firing, and on the planes were coming down, we were waiting to the top. And the best of me now with all the everything but the Russians, we should get steak and chips for supper. We've got a sack.
The weapon situation was bad. When you got on the beaches and you were doing your patrolling, you were talking to me about making Molotov cocktails.
Oh, there's a bottle, you know, with there's a burst of the flames and all set the place alight. But the bottles were that thick. When they dropped on the beach, they never smashed. The stupidest things I had. The same when we went to the desert. We got Dr. Thompson submachine gun by the hand of wind, when they were good. Say the sand got in, and they were finished. What to do with them? You've got a spick and mortar that was only for the finish.
The Molotov cocktails, were there any other weapons you made yourselves to eke out what you was missing?
No, none at all.
So a great deal of your time on the beach was patrolling and protecting the beach against any invasion that might come. And you're talking about there were one or two alerts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a stand to and every morning and evening?
Uh-huh. There was one chap I had in Long Sunderland. We got a general stand to, you know. And the general stand to, everybody turned out, cooks and everybody. And we were turned out there. Walter says to me, "Say, what do you want them for? General stand to? Why should we turn it for him?" There's some funny things. I remember when we were out there, there's a guard commander up there, and it was windy, you know, and the ground was hard. And the sentry marching back and forth, and battalion HQ was just behind the guard room. And the adjutant came out in his pajamas. He asked for the sentry, you know, to be quiet. And just after that, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the seagull came up just close to 3 o'clock with his torch, you know. Turned out the guard, I had to turn the guard over for him. And of course, when he had the tension, he put the roof and the rifle in between. And of course, the lads corporal from the road of Skiller just pulled his rifle, you know, automatic, up, fired, went straight to the tent, dismissed the seagull. So the next morning, I had to take him on a charge, you know. And he got a real hit. See where she's all, he had a presence of mind. You know, the fire, the girl in the height. London, she says, "I don't know what I would have done if I had been in." It was around 3 o'clock in the morning, though. Chinese torch inspecting the guard. But the adjutant was asking the guard, you know, keep quiet. He was really keeping the hard ground, you know. I said, "If you give him a chance over here, stand on the battle for him." He didn't do it for fun.
We'll talk more about Iraq when we get to it. Can we come back to the beaches and what you were doing there? Did you get involved with the Home Guard at all?
No, I don't know them.
You weren't helping to train them at all?
No.
Again, the transport situation was pretty bad then. Were you requisitioning for civilian transport?
No, when we got back to England, and we were stationed up at Rosely. We started to get transport there, say 3 tonners, 50 non weights and all that.
So they came through pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
About carriers, were carriers coming in? Did you have carriers?
We had carriers.
And you were still with the anti-aircraft platoon, were you? That was your platoon?
Uh-huh.
Who was your commanding officer? You mentioned a Mr. Kelly. Was he your platoon commander?
My platoon, the company commander, was Bob Kelly. Major Kelly.
What was he like?
He was quite a decent bloke. When we were at Lay Regis, he had to come home because his manager at the printing works, he'd been dipping the bag, you see. They sent him back home and a couple of hours later, we got the business squared up. But when Bob came back, I was only with our corporal in, and of course we've been the senior one in the lot. I got an interview with Bob Kelly and asked him, I says, if I'm not efficient enough, I says, for a promotion, I says, I transferred it all right and we trade. So Bob said, oh, I says, forget about it. He says, Bob said, put them through up hand. And next week I was put straight through.
What was Percy like? What was Percy like?
Oh, he's a proper dandy, you know. He's very strict. He first was telling me, he used to move on a stick, he had a bad leg. And he never liked us. He came up as a brigade major. And one of the friends, he was made sailor. But nobody ever liked him.
Do you have any other memories of being on the beaches down in Honiton and Devon?
No, there was nothing actually happening. I was just lying there.
Did you have night patrols along the beaches?
No, just lay on the beach, you know, certain areas.
Do you remember going abroad to the desert? When you left England, do you have any idea what date it was? What time of the year that you left?
I think we left Tiverton on the 21st of March, I think it was. And then went out to the Middle East and went to Cyprus. That was the first place we went out.
Where did you sail from?
Gorick, Scotland.
How did you feel about going abroad again?
I never thought of any of it. I said, you knew it was a job, so it was never worrying. You had to do it.
The ship itself, what ship did you sail on?
The old Jonah. That in the First World War. We were at sea. It was crossing into another one. Something comes into the world. We used to have band practice on the back of there, you know. It was rising, straight up,
What are your memories of the journey?
Well, the journey wasn't bad. We used to get, man got lime juice, you know, from the moon. And I'd collect the money for the lime juice. And his service had an issue with baptism. I used to do that every day.
And what were the sleeping quarters like?
Well, the majority just slept in the bunks or in places where in the mess deck you could go up in the hammock. I used to lie on the deck. I didn't like the hammock at all.
You were with the other men on the deck, were you?
Oh, yes.
Pretty crowded, was it?
Oh, it was, Harry.
When you got to the hotter climates, it must have been a bit unpleasant.
It was, yeah.
Were you allowed on deck to sleep?
Oh, yes, sir. That's what a good escort when we left, you know, had the big ships. And the Exeter was there. I always remember the Exeter, because during daylight, we used to have guns on, you know, at that practice, firing at the plane. And this plane came across, an old walrus it was. And of course, we just all scrapped them, and all patched up. And he took a steep dive, and he just went away straight, you know, at the water. And we got the pilot aboard, and we got buried at sea there.
And you saw that happening, did you? And you're saying that you were you had this anti-aircraft duty on the ship?
No, we were just practicing, you know, practicing at the aircraft. Of course, he took a big dive and a big clumsy thing there. There were walrus.
Was it a full military service for the pilot?
Of course, he only jumped when they put him over the side.
What was the food like on the ship?
What was good food?
An improvement on what you'd had when on land?
What food then?
Was the facilities for a canteen?
Yes.
What duties did you have on the ship during the day? Did you have any duties?
No, I just only sergeant. But there was no actual training, you know. They seem to be training it before us with the brain going and all stripped it and all that. And not at all, because they should strip the whole lot and the trigger group. And it will weaken it to say they were stopped. It wouldn't fail with being stripped as much. We thought and kidding with it, oh, Lewis girl and all that. The Lewis girl, we should strip it, you know, and we see it and put it together again. We should got a wood screw and sticks thing in there. And he was studying by the window. That was a good life, it didn't weaken.
How did you entertain yourselves on the ship? How did you entertain yourselves on such a long journey?
Well, we should just, you know, have cards and horses.
Did you have any boxing matches or that kind of thing?
No.
Keeping the ship clean, was there regular inspections?
Oh yes, over here. Most of these ships used to come round, and all the things that were up, the hammock, you know, those strings hanging down, and they used to go right through. Or the chap we had on went abroad, he came from all survivors, that was in charge of the ship, most of these ships. He used to drink his whiskey night and day, and he died on the ship. And when we landed suicide aid, and he was buried in aid, and that was nearly a riot there, I remember. You know, the sergeant, I said, well, we've been here, but let so many men go ashore, you see, and he didn't. One of the time crew of all the men, you know, stand by so many ways, so I cancelled it, and the officer was going ashore. When we were going, we were in the lighter, you know, somebody put a bottle upstairs, you know. The officer was going to walk up a choice, so there were blows in there. One of these fellas on the boat had been hit in the back of the head. Next war we all traded on the ship, you know, poetry. It was a case of distinction again, you see. The men were warned, they were standing by. And when I told them, I'd go and all over. And we buried him, and he said, whiskey, he was rotten drunk all the time, those three ships.
Did you resent the comfortable quarters of the officers on the ships, and you were all standing close together? Did the men resent that kind of thing? Did they not like it? Any other memories of the journey itself? Where did you stop? Did you have stops on the way across?
No, I went straight across.
South Africa, did you stop at Durban?
Yes, went to Durban for 5 days, because when the boat had a crash, I was putting there for repairs, it even got five days there. And when we were there, a part of me belonged to somebody. And they were going along the safe front, and we landed there. There was two nurses came along, so she says, and they just came in, we said, well, yes, she says, well, I've got anywhere to go. I said, oh, we don't know. I said, I'll tell you what, he says, I'll finish at the hospital at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll take you up there. And we used to go to their house, Mrs. Mullins, that the little man used to be a director of the Diamond the Docks, you know, down there. And the sun was in the summer, like an hour late. We used to go to where and have a supper and all the rest of it, you know. And the black servants, a big conservatory and all that. Lovely place, Durban. Just up the road where I used to go up all the budgies flying about. And I went into a shop there, and I was looking for a small present, you know, and I said, well, I fancy one of those small pen knives. And the woman behind the counter says, what part of you come from? They were surprised. Well, it happened, the NFs, they were stationed out there, you know, and the wives were sent down to Durban. And it started, and the children and John Walton used to work the dancers from the barracks and all that.
So you got quite a. They really looked after you when you landed there.
What a big church played the bands on the Sunday morning, you know. It's a lovely place. I always say I'd like to go back again a little bit. What's that stage, you know?
Then you sail up the Red Sea and into Egypt, in effect. Yeah. Where did you land in Egypt?
Yeah,
that was Cyprus, before you went to Cyprus, yeah. You did you spend a few days in Egypt before you went to Cyprus?
I went 5 days at Dillingham, got fixed up, went away. That's a big battleship was there, a cruiser, a Barham. It was landing there, it had a great big full old 10-foot sailor being torpedoed.
The journey to Cyprus, do you recall leaving Egypt for Cyprus?
No, I wasn't much, just if I had been a scared, by the escort leaving, we say we have escort either side back in front. And if anything happened, we should say over something there.
But did they take you to Cyprus so they could get out while it was still dark? Well, the ships took over and you raced into Famagusta and got ashore very quickly then.
Operating from Malton that way and all that time.
What are your memories of Cyprus? What memories have you of Cyprus?
I was quite dismayed at first. I was just outside Nicosia. Kato like a Thomas, we village Kato and Papua, up and over. We're staying there about 6 miles from Nicosia. We used to get through there, a little taxi we used to have, come through from there at night time. And the governor was there, governor ashore. We used to have a battalion guard, we used to have governor there was a nice guard. It was quite a decent place, Nicosia. The only thing I would say, all the security, nothing. And I got my photograph taken there. And when the wave went back home, stamped on the back. Nicosia.
What were you doing there?
I was just occupying the place now, getting reorganized for the move out of it.
Were you defending, wasn't it a task of defending the airfields? Were you doing any digging around the airfields?
No, just off the airfield there. And that's when the company here, I went to air company from there. What had happened? When we landed there, he said, we'll be in that guy. Supposed to take trenches and all, or text on the aircraft. And the place was absolutely solid. And of course, it took a number of the men I had, so we got that platoon. And they couldn't get two foot down. Next morning the adjutant came up there and started playing war about that. About that being right down there, the aircraft protection. And I said, well, the sergeant major took the men away to make the digging toilets and all that. I said, well, hadn't it? So I went up there and I was transferred to the A Company.
Who was commanding A Company? What were you doing in A Company? What were you doing personally in A Company?
Oh, I just don't know what I was routine training.
As your sergeant?
Uh-huh.
Did you move to another place in Cyprus from the original one that you were in?
No, I went straight up to Ara from there.
What were the Cypriots like? How did they treat you?
Oh, they didn't treat me very well. Got a nice place, Cyprus, because when the trouble out there, I went down to one boat car, he was taking the washing down there. This is going to Kyrena. So I was on duty for one day, And of course, I'm getting immense passes for night time. Of course, one boat, I went to the $1,508 washing, and we'll wait at Kyrena when I come back. Ken Woods says, it was hell on here. He says, they went away and forgot their hand and his passes and they couldn't get out.